So I'd like to first thank the Olam, Rabbi Stein, for this, what I consider to be a very special privilege and opportunity. I think that Mechanchim that are on the front line are just like literally preserving and assuring the survival of Klal Yisrael. I think that Mechanchim that learn when they finish their teaching, sometimes that's not so easy, are truly doing it in a way which is the way it was supposed to be done. That balance between one's own growth and the achrayus for Klal Yisrael. It's extremely inspiring, and it's a privilege to be here. I know we don't have much time, and I just would like to really highlight some work that we've been doing and try to give you a sense of what it is and what might be able to help you. And that's really, that's the only goal I thought was practical in such a short period of time. We have something here which I'm going to leave for everyone. We call it the Chinuch Companion. And basically what we've done is, we've, in a very 40-page succinct, each thing is a five-minute read, taken the basic topics that have to be the goals of our Chinuch process, besides the curriculum, besides the Gemara, besides the Chumash, besides the Novi, besides Halacha, whatever we're teaching, but to assure that these concepts get across. And what we provided is we have a website. It's called weteachtoreach.com. Teach to Reach is a Goyish website, so please stay away from that one. But it's We Teach to Reach. We do it. What they do, who knows? Weteachtoreach.com. And each one of these topics is referenced there, that on the website there's more extensive, intensive, detailed information, which can be helpful. Chinuch, preparation for Chinuch, continued preparation for Chinuch is the responsibility of the Mechanech. Those that can, those that are motivated, those that have the time will spend more time, but any time invested in enhancing and expanding our scope of influence and information that we can give over is worthwhile. But more specifically, we call the program that we have developed over the years Teach to Reach. And unfortunately, we have discovered, not anyone in particular, but all of us, have discovered that although we're teaching a lot, and we're teaching a lot of information, although our students may or may not be learning a lot of information, some yes, some no, some more than others, are we really reaching them? Reaching them, we like to say, with a passionate and a lasting commitment to Yiddishkeit. Reaching them in a way that Yadus becomes alive. Reaching them in a way that they feel a positive relationship and connection to the Beir Yoilim, which is, someone asked me today in one of the yeshivas here, like, what underlying people that go off the derech, what's the most underlying factor? You know, and besides all the things, the bad things that happens and the these and that, but one simple thing, a yachas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deep, is personal, is intimate, is loving, is passionate, most people are not going anyplace, because that's the most fulfilling thing in the world. The problem today we find is that a lot of people, they're in yeshivas, they're getting information, the better students are getting more, the weaker students are getting less, but the love and the passion and the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's one of the yesoidas that we feel that today has to be reinstituted into the yeshiva world. You know, they say that Reb Yitzchak Blaser, the Talmud of Reb Yisrael Salanta, when he was to learn, he would say, Omer Abaye, wo zogt Abaye ad Rebbeinu shel Olam zogt. Just to remind himself that this is Teres Hashem. It's not even Teres Moshe. It's only called Teres Moshe because it was Meiser Nafshei for that. But it's Teres Hashem. It's Moshe Mipi Agvura. And they have to feel it. They have to sense it. It's Shaykh today that a Shiva Bocha could wake up in the morning from his Moide Ani, busy as Hamapil at night, not once think about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. As even Shaykh to his Rebbeim might do that occasionally. It's possible. I don't mean to insult anyone, but it happens. hope not anymore, since I've been talking about it, it happens less. But the Maisa, that's it. Because, you know, we're so caught up. And especially in the world of Frumkeit, you know, everything is about Frumkeit. So we sort of forget Frumkeit and the Rebbeinu Shalom don't necessarily have anything to do with each other, you know, because we stopped asking, what does the Rebbeinu Shalom want? And, like, what's everybody doing? What's the Frum thing to do? We have to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into the equation. And that has to be a major goal of Achinuch. And the program that we have is actually brought it to four points. There are four major points. One is, this is the curriculum that we use. It's an outline with some support material, much more on the website. Connecting our students to Hashem. Critical goal. Hashgacha Pratis. If we connect them to Hashgacha Pratis, then Hashem is alive in their lives. But if it's, you know, it's all the past, it's history, it's vague, it's taken for granted, it's assumed, it doesn't have to be mentioned, or it's Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem, Bev Hashem, and this, we're not even paying attention. Those are almost as perfunctory as how you're doing and not even paying attention to find out how the guy's doing, because I couldn't care less. And it has to come alive. That's what Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu brought the HaKadosh Baruch into the conversation. And you may think, what are you talking about? You're entitled to your thoughts and your opinions. But it's a real issue. We may think that we are bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the conversation. The question is, are we reaching our students with that message? Number one. Number two, and I'm talking now about the major tenets, which unfortunately in the time we have available, we can't do much more. Relationship with our students. Do you know that a relationship is the formula, is the vehicle for the ultimate hashpah? And I'll give you just one example, interesting example. The Ralbag in the Toelius tells us how to melt the heart of an enemy. Show him friendship. What's the raya? When Esau was coming to Yaakov, and Yaakov wanted to, you know, calm down the situation because Esau had this hatred to him, he sent him a couple of behemoths, maybe quite a few behemoths. He sent him a little message in love and guarantee. He showed him friendship. So the Ralbag says, you see from here how to melt the heart of an enemy. Show love and friendship. I ask you a question. The hatred that Esav had created a halocha in the Bria. Halocha hi Esav seini liYaakov. Number one. Number two, Esav held that Yaakov was a Ramai. He faked me out twice already. Once with the brochas, once with the pachira, once with the brocha. Make it taste, I should believe that he's my friend, that he cares about me. I'm coming with an army. He's afraid. He knows how much I hate him. And he's trying to make nice to me. And the Ralbag says, you see from here that you can melt the heart of a mortal enemy with a show of friendship that you may not even be sure that it's sincere. Maybe he means it. Could be. I guess it has to be real. Maybe he doesn't mean it. Maybe it's all just another ploy just to save himself from me. But it's so powerful. A relationship with Talmidim can be the conduit to the greatest hashpah. I had a session today with some mechanchim and one of the moistis, and they really believe that a relationship is, hey, how was your Shabbos? How you doing today? That's a relationship, boy. I don't know what to say. Relationship is a relationship. Relationship is a connection. Relationship creates feeling and emotion and passion, appreciation and love. I want to, forgive me, in such a mokum kodesh, in front of such a choshev tzibur, I'd like to quote from Aristotle. And my only justification is the Rambam quotes this Aristotle. He quotes it in the Pirush HaMishnayos, so I'm sure you'll forgive me, okay? In the Pirush HaMishnayos, where the Mishnah says, "Uknei lecho chover," so the Rambam brings from Aristotle, there's three types of relationship, three types of love. The third one, the highest level, is avas hamailo. And the Rambam continues, he's marchiv what it means, two people who have this relationship together, they're pursuing the emes, they're pursuing a goal, they want to become better, they want to understand, they want to learn, they want to grow together, and each one is pursuing it and assuring together that his friend is also successful. It's a joint effort. And each one worries about the other one's success and accomplishment in this joint effort. And the Rambam signs off, I don't think Aristotle said this, Ki avas horav letalmid, veha talmid lohorav. The love of a Rebbe to a Talmud has to be such that he can evoke from a Talmud such love that he's worried for the Rebbe's ruchnius, just like the Rebbe is worried for his ruchnius, and together they're pursuing a goal. That's not such a portion of the relationship. But that's how Aristotle, that's how the Rambam defined Knei Lechochover. Such love exists between us that just like the Rebbe is concerned, I guess it starts with the Rebbe, I don't think it's going to start with the Talmud, but just like the Rebbe is so concerned for him, he mirrors that love in such a way that he becomes so concerned for the Rebbe's ruchnis, for everything about the Rebbe's, for his success, for his accomplishment, for his shleimus, for his learning, for his understanding. Imagine that. That's a level of relationship that we can. And that relationship, when that friendship pursues truth, the power in that relationship. We can have that power in our relationships, but it depends on really a deep and meaningful, loving relationship with our Talmidim. There's a third issue, which is also very, very critical. You know, for a long time in the yeshiva world, nobody wanted to talk about emunah. I have a theory why. I believe I know why, because the Goyin writes that you should, when you learn Chovos HaLevavos, you shouldn't learn the Shara Yichud. It's philosophy, talking emunah, improving, and this and that. And people say, oh, that means emunah. Don't talk about emunah. But if you read the next words in the Goyin, he says, substitute for that, the Sefer HaKuzri HaRishayim, Sheroiv Yaseide HaTorah, I have the Lashon here someplace, Atoli in that. And what is the Kuzi Rishon? All about the testimony, the edus that we have from Maimon Har Sinai. That Mesorah that we have. That's critical. That everybody needs. Because that's what keeps us anchored. You know, one of the most beautiful things that I've seen Rebbeim do, many people have created a Mesorah chart from Moshe Rabbeinu right down to the Altum Slabotka and then to their Rosh Yeshiva and then to them and so forth. And many people have taken it one step further and put their Talmud's name at the bottom and then given it out to each one. I remember doing this once in a Bes Medrash, post-high school Bes Medrash level, and I walked into the guy's dorm room the next day and I saw it hanging right on the wall over his bed. I thought, Lechta, what is that? No, I'm connected. I can trace myself all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. I'm part of this glorious Mesorah for Deiri Deiris. It's critical. And they have to know, they have to be able to understand, they have to know what it is, what happened at Har Sinai. How do we know what happened at Har Sinai? How do we know something else didn't happen? How do we know what's right? How do we know, you know, some say, well, what do we believe? You know, it's all right as a Rebbe not to know an answer to a question. In fact, Reb Chaskel Abramsky once told me, he says, when he came to London, he was a young dayan, and he came in, and the old one had retired. And the first day, the Rosh HaKol came to him and asked him a shayla. And he said, Ich weiß nicht. He didn't know the answer. So the Rosh HaKol was very disturbed. He called the old dayan. He was very disturbed. He called Rabbi Abramsky. Of course I knew the answer. The first lesson that the Jews of London have to learn is that the Rav doesn't have to know everything. And the Rebbe also doesn't have to know everything. But the Rebbe can't not know this, so the Adas. He can't not know what happened in Har Sinai. He can't. Well, what do you believe? You know, I'm not sure what I believe about that, but let me check with you. I'll ask my wife. I mean, I'll ask somebody. I'll find out tomorrow. It's Kenneth Zayn. There are certain things that have to be, and they become part of the conversation. And they're not taught as lectures, but they're just taken for granted as everything that we do. This is another area. And then when it comes to Bitochen, do you know Bitochen is so powerful? There's a lot of confusion about what Bitochen is. Let's not get into that now. Some people misread the Chazon Ish and think that Bitochen is not about trusting Hashem that things are going to turn out the right way and he's going to grant him the wishes of his heart. Whereas everyone who knew the Chazon Ish, including the Stipler, Reb Chaim Kanevsky, and everybody else, said that's not the pshat over there. In fact, the Stipler was even against publishing that. But that's besides the point. So what the Chazon Ish means, there, says, Tonus tos no shenis es azuchob and aspli odom b'choy b'musach ha-bitochen k'choy v'lahamin. We're not mechuyev to be on the level where we have such bitochen. But the chiyuv is a mikra lefonov. But there are infinite levels of kivoy, of hope and confidence, and eventually bitochen that I feel sure. That, and they have to know. You know something? I find like this very interesting. Ramban says, other Rishonim also, kol ha-boiteach ma'amin, ve'en kol ha-ma'amin, ve'en kol ha-ma'amin boiteach, kun shem agor ma'chet. But kol ha-boiteach has to be ma'amin. I have lectured numerous times to avowed apikorsim, although I never met an apikorsim in my life, to tell you the truth, but people who claim to be apikorsim, and they hear about bitochen, now I want to become a ma'amin too. Because to be able to have such a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of my strength and everything in my life, and all comes from him, and he takes care of everything, and he's involved in everything, and there's no accidents, and I put my hope in him. The Goyin says, David HaMelech, because he had such bitochen in the chesed Hashem, he knew that his heart will rejoice, the Yeshua is going to come. It's a whole sugya, whatever it is, but just, it's important. We have to be involved in that. We have to share that. That motivates our Talmidim to want to continue. And that's a critical ingredient in connecting them with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And then the fourth area, and forgive me for the brevity, in the course that we give for Menalim, these four areas take, just did one session for Menalim this summer, 16 sessions. So I'm doing in 16 minutes what we do in 16 hour and a half or 2 hour sessions. So forgive me, but it's all the time we have. Anyway, but there's a question that everybody asks. And unfortunately, so many people don't feel comfortable answering. Why is it so important to learn Torah? Why do we have to learn Gemara so many hours a day? Why is Liman HaTorah, but Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Oh, it's a mitzvah. If we can't articulate the answer to that question, if we can't model the answer to that question, if we can't, they don't sense that, and then we have to be able to explain it, we could lose out on the whole chinuch process. So these are some of the things that we have to be aware of, and just in very, very broad strokes. Under these four categories, we have subcategories, and it goes on and on and on. But I wanted to bring it to your attention. I wanted to suggest the following, and then really, you know, open the floor up for questions. We're on a campaign. Personally, over the years, I have spent countless hours, days, months, days and nights, dealing with the products of the yeshiva system who have drifted. Teenagers, preteens, adults, married people with children who are no longer observant. One spouse is off, the other one is on. They don't know what to do with their marriage. They don't know what to do with their lives. Sometimes they're still sitting and learning in Kolelim, and they don't believe anything. Now that's baloney. They believe deep down, but they may not be observing. Something is off. The problems are enormous. We don't want to wash our laundry in public, so we don't speak this way in public, but amongst mechanchim, we have to know that. I remember years ago when I gave a session in Teres Emes in Los Angeles, and a chassidish mechanch, I think he was the pre-1A, came, walked me out to the car crying. I remember a tall man with tears in his eyes. He says, Ich kennisht. Says, My Zisa Kinderlach from the pre-1A come back 10, 15 years later on their motorcycles with their piercings, with their five colored hairs, with their tattoos and this. What's going on? It's not just Los Angeles. It's not just New York. It's even in Florida, I heard. It's all over. This is what we have. We have serious issues. And it has to do with, or let's say something else, we can prevent many of them if we can focus on the areas that have disturbed these people and bring them back. It's very easy, and it's very fashionable to blame the outside world. A decade ago, two decades ago, materialism. Ay, azoy de gashmias is hanket abek yeshiva belt. The gashmias, the gashmias, the gashmias. Today, it's the internet, the internet, the internet, everything, all the schmutzer. You know something? It's true. It's true that the internet has taken people away quicker, faster, further away than ever before. But that's not the problem. The problem is what's not inside, what's not penetrating, what they're not getting on the internals of appreciating and understanding and feeling and experiencing the depth of Torah Misinai, the depth of Dveikus Hashem, the depth of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I dare say the depth of connection to Rebbeim and parents as well. And yes, there are many tragic factors, there is much abuse, and there's all kinds of things, and certainly the outside influence. But the core of it is what we give them inside. And if we fill that inside with ruchnius, with meaning, with feeling, with passion, then it's a whole different story. They're insulated, they're protected. We can almost, not quite, almost develop an insulation almost as tight as the shtetl was. Even the shtetl was penetrated by soif. The haskola started getting in. But if it's on the inside, you know, in Miami, I remember where it was exactly, in some hotel, many years ago, before they had all these asifas with the internet, with the Citi Field and this, they had a something about the internet. Now, maybe it was 15, 20, I don't remember how many years ago. And I was invited to speak there. And I don't remember what I spoke, but I remember a story that I told. And the story may or may not have happened. I don't know if it's true, but it could have happened. And it's very significant. I told the story of a Yerushalmi Jew dressed appropriately and a Chiloni and a secular Jew walking on a street in Haifa and crossing each other just about as they're about to cross each other's path. They pass a storefront demonstration with extremely inappropriate demonstrations. And the Yerushalmi, in the quickest motion, goes like this. So you shouldn't be, you shouldn't look what's going on. This Chiloni was so impressed that he walks over to him and says, "What is it that you have in your life that's so meaningful, that's so satisfying, that's so fulfilling, that you won't chance compromising it even for a moment for a pleasure that we all can enjoy and have a good time watching?" That's where we have to go. The Yiddishkeit has to be so much a part of our lives, so much a part of their lives, that I'm not going to let the internet into my life. I'm not going to let the negative influences into my life. I'm not going to be influenced by anything on the outside because I want this relationship, this Dveikus Hashem, this Avas HaTorah, this connection to Yadus, this Shmiras HaMitzvahs, this appreciation for everything that I have is so acute that I'll do anything to protect it and guard it and safeguard it from any type of outside and negative influence. This, I think, is the goal. And I want to suggest that we can help. First of all, I don't know how to do this exactly, but I think the website is the best way. I don't know if people I've found, some people in certain communities don't admit to have access to the internet. So no one's asking anyone if they're signing up or not, you know. But, and if you don't, there are other ways. Actually, if someone doesn't, this is something, we did a series of videos. We have about 20 videos, very strong to be Mechazik Emunah, about scientific information in Chazal, about Maimon Har Sinai and the Mesorah, and so many beautiful things. So these are, you plug them into a USB. I don't know what it is exactly, but if anyone's interested in that, if that's going to help you, if you don't have internet access. If not, it's all on the website. But what I'm really advocating is that everybody take the time. Again, each chapter, each piece is a 5-minute read. And then it's at the end, it says that you can find more information on the website under whatever category it says. There's a lot there that could be very helpful. The feedback that we've gotten from Mechanchim and from Menahalim is extremely positive. Numerous Mechanchim and Menahalim have said it changed their lives. I'm not so bold as to suggest that, but certainly the lives of their Talmidim. I think it's well worth the investment. There's no charges. All of the books there can be downloaded. Anyone who doesn't want to download, we're happy to send. There's many, many written books there we send free of charge. We don't charge anything. In fact, the people that participate in the courses, which I hope someday we'll be able to put up here, we pay generous stipends for participation. We found that without the stipend, we get, you know, like this. I have other things. I'm busy. With a stipend, it's a different world. It's a game changer. So we have that. And we're now developing, not sure when it'll be ready, an online course that people will be able to take at their own time, own leisure, also with some interactive pieces and also a stipend available for certain performance goals at the end. And we're really trying to get this out there. We've been working on this for many years, but of recent, we were zeichet to come up with some serious funding. And that's, of course, been a game changer. Some of you may have even noticed the ads we have in some of the magazines and other things about this Teach to Reach, about the, the Baruch Hashem, things are moving. So that's really my message in short. I would ask each one to take one of these and see what you could do. We're also beginning, after Yontif, a program for women teachers, for the girls, which is a separate, it's not that much different, but you know, there are certain differences. And in the not too distant future, there'll be like a Zoom in on Chinuch, where people can tune in every week at a certain time, and there'll be questions that'll be asked and answered, and some basic ideas that'll be shared. So trying very hard, but it requires work. We can't just assume that with everything that we have, we can maximize the hashpah that we have on our Talmidim. We can certainly, I'm sure we do, have very good positive results and influence, but it can go way beyond that. And the more that we recognize the issues, focus on the issues, understand the issues, are fortified with an arsenal of information that can help us address these issues, the more success that we will have. And the end result, I'd like to read you something, and then really if there's some discussion or questions or disagreements, that's fine. I'd like to read you, this is, I think I can see it like this in the other glasses. B'sefer HaCharedim, HaMazakeh HaRabim Zeche Lirois Bonim Lebonov, Zeche Be'olam Hazeh Be'olam Habo, V'chol Ba'alei Dinim Lo Yuchlu Ledono Lo'i Be'olam Hazeh Ve'lo'i Be'olam Habo, V'nichnas B'yud Gimel She'orim. So I assume that means there's Yud Gimel She'orim and Shomayim that he can go in. Nobody's going to stop him from going right straight to the Kisei HaKovet. Yired Doer Yeshorim Bevoroch Hoin Ve'oisher Bebeisoy V'tzidkosoy Oimedes Lo'ad. This is a Mezakeh HaRabim. Very, very worthwhile investment. Hoin Ve'oisher Bebeisoy. I don't know. No businessman has promised that. Some make it, some don't. But listen to this. Then you have a tirgum here from the Zohar. Hatzadik tzorich lirdof achar hachoite v'liknoisoi bischar sholem kedei sheyavir mimenu hazuhamo hahi ulachnia hasitra achro v'yase es nafshoi shelchoite kedei sheyechoshev keilu baro. And when he has that hashpo, it's ke'ilu v'ro, it's as if he created him anew. V'zehu shevach sheyale boy, kovet la'kodesh baruch hu yoyse mi shevach acher v'oyle al ha'koyol. V'al ha'odom hazeh kosu berisi ho yiso ito ha'chayim v'ha'sholoyim. V'zoyche lirois bonim lebonov. V'zoyche b'oylem hazeh v'zoyche l'oylem habo. Kol ba'al yadirem lo yecholim ladunu. Loy bolam azeh, but loy lomu abo. V'nichnas b'shnei mosor she'orim, v'ei mi she'imche b'yodoy. V'al zeh kosuv gibor b'oretz yichye zaroy dor yishorim yivoyroch. Hoin v'oishu b'beisoy. Tzidkosu yemedes lo'ad. It goes on and on and on, but it's interesting. Here, the Charedim, the Sefer Charedim, spoke about someone who's Mezakeh the Rabbim. Here, the Zohar uses the same Loshen for a person who has one Hashpo on one Choyte. One person that he affects his life, the Zohar to that Hashayach. So we have a tremendous opportunity. The Schus is endless. The Hanoah is endless when you see progress, when you see that you've turned a life around, even if it's just in a small way. The Sipuk HaNefesh is Ein L'Shayach, and we can do it. But the more that we're prepared with just the ability, let's take just maybe one example. You know, when someone asked me recently, met a Rosh Yeshiva, he says, he had a kid there in the high school who was Mechal Shabbos, turned on a light on Shabbos in the dormitory, and everybody knew about it. So what is he going to do? So all right, they decided they're not going to ask him to leave, Baruch Hashem, but they're going to work with him. And I pointed out to him that there's been a kilkul, others saw it. But you know something? Educate your students on what Shabbos is. I don't know if they have a real concept of Shabbos. Do they really know what it means? Do they really understand what it means, an edus to ma'aseh bereishis? Do they really understand what Rashi says when it says sheishes yom tavu sizkom lachtecho shia beinecho kilo kol malachtecho asuyo, that when Shabbos comes, a person can have this psychological state of mind as if everything's taken care of, everything's been done, there's nothing left to be done. Kol malachtecho asuyo, such a peace of mind, such a tranquility. Do they understand what a ois bein yo bein ben Yisrael oisi le'olam? So the art school translates it oisi le'olam. It's an ois ha'maaseh bereishis. Chayodim does seem to say that. But Rashi says, Ois gedoylo shebo charmti bochem, v'hanchile lochem es yoy menuchos ila menucho. It's a ois that I chose you, you're my people. There's an anniversary of creation. I should have really chosen the Goyim too. You know why? The Goyim don't do Pesach because they weren't in Mitzrayim. They don't do Sukkos because they weren't in the Midrash. They don't do Shavuos because they didn't get the Torah. Oh, but my Sibarashis belongs to everybody. They were all created. No. Ois gedoylo shebo charmti bochem. It's a private anniversary celebration that the Bayre Yoilam invites us to the Exuva Lena Satil Goya Rosis. It's a private party that the Bayre Yoilam, in his love for Klal Yisrael, shows us only to celebrate the party with him. If they can put it in terms of privilege, everything in terms of benefit, everything in terms of, you talk about benefit of mitzvahs. There's a Ralbag. Shocking.
Did he show remorse? That
what's that?
Did he show remorse?
What the kid? Well, I don't know. This just happened. I just met this person Thursday.
What? No.
This poor little kid, he doesn't mean he's not a dinner Mechal Shabbos. He got angry and he turned on the light. I'll show you a tshuva from Reb Chaim Oizer, who said that this whole community in Russia, where they used to keep Friday night, Shabbos, they went early davening, they had Kiddush, they had a Suda, then they went to work, and he said, they're not Mechali Shabbos for a Hesya, they don't have a din of a Goy, their wine is not Nayin Nesach. Don't be so sure, but anyway, let's not argue with that now, okay? You want to argue? I have time to argue. I have a chasen, it's much later, you guys have to go. So be kids like this, but just let me finish. I forgot what I wanted to say already now, because you took me by surprise. What? Oh, the mitzvah, yeah, the Ralbag. Listen to this. You want to get a loved one to do something that's bizarre umuzar, bitzar umuzar. He says, first tell him the benefits, and then only tell him what he has to do. Okay, because he says the cheshik for the benefit will influence him to want to do it better. Where do we learn it from? Can you guess? From Avraham Avinu, by the Bris Milah. Hashem did not tell Avraham Avinu that there was a knife involved. First he told him, enter the Bris with me and you're going to have Doiris and Eretz Yisrael in this. And only then did he give him the knife. Avraham Avinu would have been influenced, could have been influenced by this difference between knowing it before and after. In other words, he could have said, listen, here's the knife, now I'm going to tell you the benefits and then do the... No good. First the benefits. The cheshik for the benefits will mitigate the pain and the strangeness, and then he'll be able to do it. Avraham Avinu maybe would have done it, but in a different way, a better way. Anyone can be affected by that. Anyway, Rabbi Say, that's my story. I beg of you, please take these things and then see what you can do. And yes, I have time. What are you
playing? How do you take the children with that spiritual benefit? feel that. I'd rather play baseball on Shabbos.
Okay, so first of all, everything is according to the age appropriateness. I don't know what kind of children you're talking about. Younger children have a harder time. Older children have an easier time, but also a hard time. Adults don't have any problem. When it comes to friar people, I remember we wanted to get the Aguda years ago, and Misha Shera was still alive. We wanted to get the Aguda involved in these Arachim seminars. So I brought to the Aguda leadership, I brought a woman who had come to a seminar and decided she is becoming religious. And she told him like this, when I heard the lecture about Shabbos, that I was so excited that even I decided that even if I don't believe a thing that they're teaching, I'm going to keep Shabbos, because she heard the benefits. So they can hear. Now, one thing is like this. As mechanchim, we tend to be very impatient. You want to see results now. You have to be patient. The seeds you plant will blossom, muvtoch, batuach, but it takes time. Number two, when you give something that makes sense, even if they don't fully understand it, they hear that there is something in it. So they know that you, this intelligent individual, with whom I have a very close relationship, with whom, by the way, not only loves me, but respects me. What? What am I talking about? The Rambam in Perek Hei, Hilchos Talmud Torah, maybe Halacha Vav or Zayin, says at the end, he says, Kishem she'atalmid chayv l'chabedes orav, kach orav tzorich l'chabedes atalmid u'lekorvoy. So, and I think tzorich means, if not, you're not going to have a talmud. Respect. Respect his time, respect his space, respect his feelings. A Rebbe has to respect his talmud. A talmud is mechuyev to respect his Rebbe, and a Rebbe must. He's tzorich. Anyway, so you love him, and you respect him, and you become that very important person in his life. And you make him feel good about himself, which is the definition. Osher is the definition of happiness, ishur, validation. You make him feel good about himself. When you say that there's a reason, even if he doesn't get it completely, it penetrates. And he may not listen the first time, and he may not listen the second time. It'll take a while, but he gets it. Number two, there are things that they can understand. And we explain to them, listen, at your stage in life when you're playing games, it doesn't really matter to you. But as you get older, you'll understand it. And it also depends on how much confidence we have when we're telling them. If we have confidence, this is, here for example, I'll tell you what I tell people for Shabbos. I heard this from one of the Gedolei Yisrael, I don't know how he knew it, from a German poet. Don't ask me how he knew it, but it's real. It says like this, there was a Polish landowner, and he was a very nice guy, and he used to visit his tenants to see how they were doing. One Friday night, he comes upon this Jewish family. They invite him in, he comes in, knocks on the door, they invite him and sit down, sitting around the table, singing, laughing, talking to each other. Such camaraderie, such tranquility, such beauty. And he looks and sees it's leaking in over here and over here, and the chairs are patched, the tablecloth is patched, the chairs are frayed, the suit, the clothing are frayed, and the food is very sparse. And he's shocked by the contrast between the peace and tranquility and happiness and whole atmosphere and the poverty in which they were living. And he says, goes over to the Balabas, Rabid, one wish, anything in the world is yours. Could have had a new job, he could have had a new house, he could have had $1 million, he could have had a few more wishes, whatever he wanted, you know, he could have had anything. He says, could you be so kind? This is what the Balabas says. The candle in the middle of the table, I guess they have these big wax things, you know, this is years ago, is bent over, and it's dripping, it's going to go out early, we won't be able to enjoy the Shabbos meal. Can you please straighten it up? This Jew's world was so complete in his Shabbos, his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his bitochen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh was the Borei Olam. My world is complete. There's nothing. Everything that has to be done is done before. He couldn't relate to the question of Vos Feltaich Rabid on Shabbos. What are you lacking? He couldn't imagine. The only thing he could imagine is a Shabbos goy. That's all he needed. And Emma says he shouldn't have imagined that either, because you don't need a Shabbos goy either. But for such a thing, they can hear that. They may not identify with it, but they, wow, there's something to look forward to. And you tell them, right now you may not appreciate that. You know, if you want to be a little facetious, when the kid says to you, but this, you got to be careful, you got to use a judgment on this. When the kid says to you, what do you mean? How could it be menucha when you're telling me not to do the things I enjoy, right? So you know what I tell him? It's a Rashi Mefurish in Parshas Mishpotim. You're right. Rashi says that. L'man yonuch shorucho b'chamorucho. Oh, but one thing, that's about an animal, not about a human being. But an animal is state that if you don't let your animal graze, then because ein ze menucha. It says l'man yonuch shorucho, and if he can't graze and cut the grass, then it's not menucha. Oh, for a mensch, such a higher standard. He can connect with the Rebbeinu Shalela. It's a different world. It's a different life. They can experience it on different levels. And of course, with very young kids, what you have to do with them is Shabbos has to be special. Special. Special toys, special this, special food. You know, everything. I know a woman, actually she was in Florida, used to call me years ago. She had a kid who refused to come to the Shabbos table for a year. But every Friday morning she went up and she asked him, what do you want? What's your favorite food? And after a while, she broke him. And she's, you know, I guess he must have snuck eating the food after the meal or something, you know. And after a while, he turned around and he, so we can do it. We can do it. We have the power. We need confidence. What we have to sell, Rabbi Yisai, is the strongest power in the world. There is no stronger power in the world. And if you're wondering of whether we can accomplish it or not, let me leave you with a thought. The Novi Yeshaya in Perek, I think it's Membeis, it's the Haftarah of Parshas Bereishis, that I know. The Novi says like this, Chershim Shmo, the Ivrim Habitu Lirois. He says, deaf ones, you listen. Blind ones, see. He says, and then the Novi continues, says, who am I talking to? He says he's talking to the Yireim Ushleimim of the generation. And the Mitzudas learns from that. He's Shleimim Amidois, Yireim in Mitzvah. Mamish, the Pnei Ador he's talking to. And he has a taina to them. They didn't do enough to reach out. Lahatzdikes Hazulas. I think that's the lotion the Mitzudas uses. Then the next pasuk says, Hashem Chofetz Man Tzidko Yagdil to Rabbi Yadir. Haloi Iker Chefetz Hashem Bochem. It's Lahatzdikes Hazulas. So that's what he says to them. Shailis, if they're such shleimim and such bali midas and such yireim, then why didn't they do? There's a mitzvah hafter reichu kamoicha. There's a mitzvah hafter shem alkech sheishin swaim sabelotcho. There's a chiach techiach samisecho. There's kiddush Hashem. There's arvus. There's so many mechayivim. Why were they sleeping on the job? Teretz says they must have seen that it can't be done. It's impossible. Then what does the Novi say? Hashem chovitz l'mad sitko ik chavitz Hashem b'chem ich kenisht oin istrach mo lepatre. There it is. If we know that ik chavitz Hashem b'chem is to reach out and reach these talmidim, then the impossible becomes possible. And that has to be our motto. Yes, sometimes you'll see situations that look impossible. Whether it's the age, whether it's the grade, whether it's the individual, whether it's the society, whatever it may be. Iker chefetz Hashem bochem. The people sitting in this room know that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. This is our tafkid, this is our tachlis, and we're involved in maintaining the Messiah and passing it on to the next generation, and that's the greatest thing that any human being can do on the face of the earth. And if I know Iker chefetz Hashem bochem, then the impossible will become possible. Hashem should help that your impossible situations should become not just possible, we should see it through. Should be matzliach and yirotzen shetishre shechina b'maaseh yadeichem. But please take advantage, take these. For anyone who doesn't have the access to these videos, they can be very helpful in the classroom. You should take this and please take whatever you can here. And they're all connected to this website. We teach the